And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Queen will distribute Maundy money on behalf of the King at Worcester Cathedral during this year's Royal Maundy service. Queen Camilla, 76, will present ceremonial coins to 75 men and 75 women on Maundy Thursday, as per Easter tradition, while the King continues his cancer treatment. It will mark one of the most significant royal events from which King Charles, 75, will be absent. The Queen's involvement will also mark the first time that a consort has stood in to perform the duty on behalf of the monarch. The service, which is held at a different cathedral each year, was last held in Worcester in 1980. Lord High Almoner John Ing, the Bishop of Worcester, will accompany the Queen as she presents the specially minted coins on March the 28th. He said, "It is an honour to be able to welcome Her Majesty the Queen to Worcester. This is an immensely special service, and I know it will mean a huge amount to those who have been chosen to receive the coins, all of whom will have given years of service to their local communities." Canon Stephen Edwards, Worcester Cathedral's interim dean, said, "We are delighted that Worcester has been chosen as the location for this year's Royal Maundy service. We will be pulling out all the stops to create a special occasion for all the recipients." Maundy money is given to a number of male and female recipients equivalent to the monarch's age and is delivered in two purses, one red and one white. Pensioners who have supported the church and their local communities are recommended by clergy of all denominations to receive the gifts. The ancient ceremony stems from the commandment Christ gave after washing the feet of his disciples the day before Good Friday. Both the King and the Queen attended last year's service at York Minster. In 2022, the ailing Queen Elizabeth II pulled out of the Maundy service for the first time in more than 50 years, asking her son, then the Prince of Wales, to step in for her at St George's Chapel, Windsor. The late Queen had only missed the event on four previous occasions, in 1954 and 1970 due to royal tours, and in 1960 and 1964 due to the births of Prince Edward and Andrew. In 1954, the monarch was represented by Lord High Almoner Michael Gresford Jones, the Bishop of St Albans. 6 years later, the Queen Mother stood in for a daughter who had given birth to the Duke of York 2 months earlier. In 1964, following the birth of Prince Edward, the Queen's role was fulfilled by her aunt Princess Mary, and in 1970, the Queen Mother again distributed the Maundy money when her daughter was on a tour in New Zealand. A £1 billion reparations push by the Church of England to atone for its historic links to slavery is anti-Christian, critics warned last night. The Church will ask super wealthy families and investors to help it build an enormous pot of cash to address enduring harms from enslavement. The C of E announced last year that it was setting up a £100 million fund for reparations to recognise that it once profited from the slave trade. But a report this week said that it was insufficient to fully redress the centuries-long impact of the great evil of slavery and called for a much bigger target of £1 billion. Critics said the move risked putting parishioners off donating their cash-strapped churches, as it would appear the C of E had vast sums to throw around. Reverend Ian Paul argued that it was anti-Christian and suggested it was motivated by a death wish for the Church of England. Last year, the Church commissioners, who handled the C of E's financial assets, announced the £100 million fund to address past wrongs. But an independent oversight group, set up to oversee how the fund would be managed, concluded this week that the pot of money was too small and would be distributed too slowly. Its report read, "Community engagement confirmed the view that £100 million will be insufficient for this purpose. The Church commissioners have therefore embraced a target of £1 billion for a broader healing, repair and justice initiative with the fund at its centre." The chairman of the group said she hoped the initiative was just the start and would be a catalyst to encourage other institutions to dig into their paths. But Dr. Paul of the Archbishop's Council, which coordinates the C of E's work, said, "This report is quite extraordinary. It appears to be based on an essentially racist reading of history, that white people are all bad and the oppressors, and black people are nothing more than victims. This is insulting to both black and white. It is anti-Christian. Unbelievably, it calls on the church to repent for having preached the gospel. African Christians, including the vast numbers of Anglicans in Africa, will be very angry to read that. The authors of the report appear to be completely ignorant of the church's own beliefs. It will imperil local ministry and mission. Why would ordinary churchgoers continue to give to the local church when it appears we have these vast sums to throw around? Whoever commissioned this report appears to have a death wish for the Church of England." His comments were echoed by General Synod member Prudence Daly, who said, "I can't believe that the Church of England is effectively apologising for converting people to Christianity. In view of how hard-pressed parishes in the Church of England are, it is a concern as to how far this is going. The Church of England is not directly funding parishes, but it should be. It has plenty of money." Paul Eddy, a vicar in West Oxfordshire and a former General Synod member, added, "Throughout history, people in leadership have done very bad things. But where does this all end? If they start paying out this sort of money now, the commissioners will surely have to keep in reserve large sums of money to pay for the wrong today's church will do." The church commissioners welcomed the report, but said they would not increase their £100 million contribution, and any additional funds must come from external sources. Geeta Thamaratnam, vice-chairman of the oversight group, suggested the £900 million shortfall could be made up in part by wealthy families and companies ashamed of their historic links to slavery. She said, "The intention is that this is a fund that can be taken to peers of the church commissioners, to pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, to impact investors, foundations, family offices, exactly the kind of investors who are looking to create positive change for the future. And in doing so, our hope is that we will get to the £1 billion that we have set as an intention and strong target. The plan is for the money to be invested in black-led businesses focusing on education, economic empowerment, and health outcomes, as well as being used to provide grants to address these issues in communities impacted by the legacies of African enslavement. The Church of England's £10.3 billion endowment can be traced in part back to a fund given by Queen Anne in 1704, referred to as Queen Anne's Bounty. At the time, it heavily invested in the South Sea Company, which shipped enslaved people from Africa across the Atlantic. The church estimates 34,000 slaves were affected over 30 years. Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, said, "The Oversight Group's independent work with the church commissioners is the beginning of a multi-generational response to the appalling evil of transatlantic chattel enslavement. My prayer is that this work will stimulate further visionary and practical co-created action." David Olusoga, a professor of public history at the University of Manchester, welcomed the fund and described it as an opportunity to fully engage in restorative justice. He told the BBC's World at One, "It can also inspire other people, other organisations." A group of ultra-conservative priests from Spain and Latin America have been forced to apologise for saying they wish the Pope would die as soon as possible. The comment was made during a filmed chat between members of a group called the Sacristy of the Vendée, which describes itself as counter-revolutionary priestly gathering. In it, Gabriel Calvo Zarute, a priest from Toledo, says, "I also pray a lot for the Pope so that he can go to heaven as soon as possible." Another priest then also expresses his support for the Pope's quick death, with other participants laughing at the comments. The video was posted online and has had more than 60,000 views. This week, the Vendée group apologised, saying the comment had been unfortunate and a joke in bad taste, but that they understood how it could have been interpreted. Francisco Chero Chavez, the Archbishop of Toledo, said he rejected the group's comments and warned of possible corrective measures against the priests. He added that they had been forced to apologise. in a new Sacristy of the Vendee video called Should We Give Up the Fight, recorded on last Thursday night, Francisco José Delgado, the group's leader, said any accusation that they wished ill on the Pope was a malicious misinterpretation. But the video contained fresh criticism of the Pope over his approval in December of church blessings for same-sex couples. Father Calvo Zarote doubled down on his rejection of any kind of marriage except a permanent union between a man and a woman without contraceptive methods. He also pledged his loyalty to the Spanish dictator Francisco Franco, who ruled the country with an iron fist for almost 40 years until 1975 and enjoyed a large degree of support from the Catholic Church. As Catholics, we are in favour of defending the memory of Francisco Franco because he saved the Catholic Church in Spain from extermination, he said. It is not the first time action has been taken against members of the Sacristy of the Vendee group. Earlier this year, they were forced to remove their signatures from a petition they helped to organise that demanded the Pope annul his order permitting the blessing of gay marriages. Fury has erupted after a Jobsworth traffic warden tried to slap a parking ticket on a funeral cortege waiting outside a church. Appalled mourners emerged from the send-off at Welwyn Garden City United Reformed Church in Hertfordshire to find parking enforcers about to pounce. Funeral director Justin Burgess said, "We were parked outside the church with a hearse and two limousines attending a funeral inside the church. It's very limited where you can park funeral vehicles to get access to a church. This particular church is on the side of a road. That's the only place there is to park. I came out at the end of a service. I saw the traffic warden there and he got his little pad out to start ticketing us. And I said, 'You've got to be joking.' I said, 'We're only going to be 10 to 15 minutes more. Can you just go for a walk around the block?' He said, 'No.' I said, 'Have a bit of compassion. This is a funeral.' And he started remonstrating with me. Hoping to avoid a scene, Mr. Burgess went inside to check on the family of the deceased who had lingered in the church. But the traffic warden was unmoved and he was photographing the license plates when Mr. Burgess emerged again. When challenged, the parking enforcer summoned a colleague for backup and called into head office, the funeral director said. Mr. Burgess added, "The woman on the other end of the phone was just vile. She was saying, 'Just ticket them, just ticket them, they're breaking the law.' And I sort of shouted over his shoulder. I said, 'Look, as I explained to your colleague here, please have a little bit of feeling. This is a funeral. This is the last thing the family wants.' And she said, 'Right, that's it. I'm calling the police.' Unfortunately, in the meantime, the next of kin came out and they were really upset. She said, 'Are you seriously going to put a ticket on my mum's hearse? I can't believe you're doing this to us.' With the family of the deceased now ready to depart, the cortege made a quick escape before a ticket was issued. Mr. Burgess said, 'Had we not stood and argued all that time, we would have had a ticket, but we just argued and argued, by which time we were ready to leave. We've got another church in Hatfield by the station. It's almost like they're waiting in the bushes. The minute the mourners park, they're out issuing their tickets. I think it's just a Jobsworth doing his job." The funeral director shared photos of the encounter online, showing even the church's vicar appealing to the warden. Locals responded by raging, "Absolutely disgusting, and anyone who has a brain or a heart would look the other way." One lady said, "It doesn't matter that no ticket was issued. He caused the grieving family more stress on a day when no one should be hassled. I'm sorry, but it's disgusting on every level." In a statement, the council said, "We are aware of an incident involving our parking contractor. The contractor requested that the vehicle parked on a pedestrian crossing zigzag lines, obstructing the view of pedestrians and approaching traffic, be moved to a safer location. Whilst we do operate a dispensation for funeral vehicles, no vehicle can be given dispensation to park on zigzags. This poses a safety risk to people crossing the road and could result in a serious accident." The funeral party was not present when the contractor initially requested the vehicle to be moved, and we want to reiterate that no parking tickets were issued. The statement continued, "We are deeply regretful that this situation caused distress to the funeral party, and we have reached out to the family directly. We have also asked the contractors to review their processes and training to ensure that all officers can convey safety implications clearly and with the utmost sensitivity." And finally, Pastor Jamie's computer was acting up, so he phoned and asked the technical support person, who asked, "Have you disabled the cookies?" And Pastor Jamie replied, "Well, I bit the legs off a gingerbread man once."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you, and goodbye for now.